History of the Maya. The Maya Law Code. Now, the Maya imposed severe penalties on those who threatened social cohesion by committing crimes such as murder or adultery. The Maya did not accept that bad things could happen by accident, for they viewed every event as the fulfillment of a pattern that could be read in the stars and perhaps in the past, and which were set in motion by the gods. A hunter who killed another man by accident in the forest was just as guilty of murder as a man who killed another before witnesses in a quarrel over food. The unfortunate hunter must have been chosen by the gods to meet this end. Similarly, a person who lost or damaged someone else's belongings by accident was treated as if he or she had done it with intent and was required to compensate the unfortunate victim. Those who had no wealth of their own with which to pay compensation, nor wealthy relatives to provide help, for faced slavery. They would be freed once they'd worked off the money they had owed the victim. The punishment for murder was death. According to Bishop Diego de Landa, the murderer was placed in the stocks and put to death by the relatives of the person he had killed. It appears that killing an animal for no reason was seen akin to murder, and the perpetrator might be severely disciplined for having brought shame on his patrilineal or matrilineal social group. Mayan hunters were very serious about the responsibility to respect the animals on which they relied. They would make ritual atonement after killing the animal by sprinkling blood drawn from the penis or tongue on a part of the creature. When couples were caught committing adultery, the man was punished with death. If the couple was caught in flagrante delicto, the man would be taken from the bed, bound head and foot, and humiliated and dragged before the judges. After hearing the case and declaring his guilt, the victim would be handed to the husband, who was permitted to extract revenge by taking another's life. The usual method of execution, so de Landa reports, was to crush the adulterer's head by dropping a heavy rock on it from a height. Theft was also considered a serious offense. The Maya did not add doors to their houses, so that there were no way of barring entry to passerbys. Many people hung a bell string in the doorway that would sound when someone entered and alert whoever was at home. A person caught stealing would be thrown into slavery. He would often be given a set period of time in which to work off the cost of his crime, after which he could return to free society. However, if the members of his patriarchal or matriarchal social group were wealthy, they would pay compensation to the person that he stole from, and then he would be set free. The Maya did not put thieves, murderers, or adulterers in jail. The only people they kept in captivity were the captives they brought home in triumph from war, who were to be kept for sacrificial purposes on festival days or at the celebration of a king's anniversaries. These victims in waiting were treated with respect until the time for sacrifice came, when they might be subjected to severe physical indignities in the name of the ancestral gods. Now, if you look at trade and enforcement, Mayan merchants were a privileged class known as paulums, with trading by sea and great fleets of canoes, others carrying goods along trails and roadways. A merchant god, Ekwa, presided over the transactions of the land traders. It was a religious duty to act with honor. But such was the wealth involved in large transactions for precious cargoes of cacao or greenstones, and sometimes greed got the better of the individuals, and sharp practices crept in. Mayan merchants did not make written deals. Instead, they would come to a verbal agreement, which was usually signaled by drinking a toast in public. These deals were then considered binding. If a merchant refused to honor the terms of a deal, his deceit might be considered justification enough to launch a war. The end result might be great wealth, far greater than that involved in the deal in the form of booty, slaves, and tribute. However, while sometimes a cause of war, Mayan trade may have been a source of peace in one important respect. The success of Mayan merchants may have saved their people from attack by land-hungry armies of the Aztec Empire. The Maya traded regularly with the people of the Triple Alliance, exchanging salt, cacao beans, and highly prized green plumes of the quetzal feathers for ornaments and tools and copper. The success of these trading links perhaps served to deter the Aztecs from launching military campaigns into the Yucatan. So that is quite interesting. It's a shame we don't have more information. Now, the next time we will be looking at clans and power, Mayan social groups. The sources for this are The Maya by Cole, The Civilization of the Maya by Anakin, The Popo Vuh, In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus, Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates, Incidents in the Travels of the Yucatan by Stevenson, New World Archaeology by Scientific American, Aztec and Maya by Phillips, Yucatan Before and After the Conquest by Delanda, Rise and Fall of the Maya by Mayan Civilization by Thompson, and Maya History and Religion by Thompson. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.